Packers fans, welcome into the Green 19 podcast from JS Online and PackersNews.com. I'm Cassidy Hill, joined as always by Tom Silverstein and Ryan Wood, where Spoon and I are coming to you from Ford Field. Ryan, back in Green Bay, where Ryan, you're probably in the better place today. This was a dejected locker room after the Packers' fifth straight loss, which they, like we said, fifth straight loss. They've had some losses, but today felt like the final straw maybe for this season. There are still eight games to play, but sitting here at 3-6, let me just ask you both right off. Ryan, I'll start with you. Is this team done? Is this the time of death on the 2022 Packers?
Yes. Spoon, you're next. No. Look, I said coming into the game, and I don't think I was the only one. Kenny Clark told me coming into the game, for goodness sakes, this was a must-win game. When you lose a must-win game, your season's done. They're 3-6. It's amazing that there's eight games left. I mean, that's just – it's a lot. But their next three is the Cowboys, Titans, and Eagles. They could be staring at 3-9. I don't see them getting better. And the reason I don't see them getting better is not just the record – but it's the fact that they're deficient in areas that they need to not be deficient in order to win games.
Spoon?
Yeah, they're in a horrible position. Nothing's over until it's over. I've seen, you know, 8-7-1 teams and all kinds of crazy stuff. But I don't really see a path to them getting in the playoffs right now. I mean, that's not really even worth talking about. They got to get a win.
You know, playoffs? Like
one, yeah, exactly, Jim Mora. It's like somehow they got to get a win. They got to get Aaron Rodgers playing well. I don't know. If I'm them, I'm starting to think about the future a little bit. You know, you got to see how the next two games play out, and then if they're 3-8 after that, then the season's over and I'd start thinking about some other things.
So you're not completely tanking yet?
No, I mean, you can't. Stranger things have happened, you know.
Mathematically, they're still in it.
Well, yeah, they could finish 11-7. I mean, if they won 8 straight, that could happen. It's not going to happen, but it's mathematically possible. So I'm not you know, some kind of soothsayer, but their odds of finishing 500, let alone, you know, making the playoffs are really low.
Mm-hmm. Coming into this game, there were some storylines there and it felt like they were all flipped on their heads. So let's just review. Coming in, the Lions were leading the league in explosive plays on offense and they were scoring 35 points or more a game at home. And then on defense, they were the 32nd ranked overall defense and scoring defense, and they were in the bottom 10 in rushing and passing as well. Packers defense held this Lions offense to 15 points. And two of those came off of a two-point conversion, off a questionable block call. So two touchdowns. They were held to two touchdowns in Ford Field. On Packers offense, though, they were able to move the ball between the 20s and then just completely went stagnant in the red zone. They went 0-for-4 in the red zone, 0-for-2 on goal to go. Aaron Rodgers threw two interceptions in the red zone and threw a third on the goal line, but he technically was from the 22-yard line. And so everything that we thought might happen in this game got flipped. So let's start with the defense because the offense is going to take a while. So let's start with the defense. Ryan, this defense comes in, holds the Lions offense to 15 points. They lost Eric Stokes very early on, moved Rasul Douglas outside, brought Keyshawn Nixon into the slot, still played a handful of dime snaps with Rudy Ford on the field as well. But one of the touchdowns that was given up looked, at least to us, we would need to find out the exact play call, but looked like it was given up by Darnell Savage, which has been a point of contention with this defense. What are you focusing in on this defense, and does it feel like there's enough there, at least on that side of the ball, to continue to build off of?
Well, everything to your points, Cassidy, this defensive performance was really, really good. It was one of, if not the best defensive performances they've had all year. You can't just look at it as, well, it's the Lions. The Lions been rolling up everybody on offense. I get that T.J. Hockenson wasn't on the field, but Brad Holmes said during the week, after the T.J. Hockenson trade, part of the reason he made the trade is he felt like this offense had enough firepower to be able to still score and maybe not win because the Lions defense, but score. This was when you hold this Lions offense that has averaged 5 touchdowns at home and 4 games at home coming in to 15 points, a season low almost by half. Their season low previously was 27 at home. When you do that against this Lions defense, this Packers defense is built to win games. That's what this Packers defense really did today, except the offense is moribund. It's just they're awful. So, yeah, I mean, I thought that there was a lot of good stuff. Now, going forward with all the injuries, Rashawn Gary, Eric Stokes, going forward, how's this defense going to look? I have no idea. But as for today, the Packers defense was really, really good against an offense that had been scoring.
Yeah, Amon-Ra St. Brown, I'm looking at the book, was held to 4 receptions on 9 targets for 55 yards. So you break up 5 passes intended for Amon-Ra St. Brown. That's a pretty decent day for your secondary. Just a small point, some housekeeping notes. Spoon, I want to ask your opinion on this. This was the first game where Quay Walker was calling the plays. He had the green dot with Devondre Campbell out. Never looked to me like they were out of sync or in the wrong play call. So, I mean, is that a good experience, at least, for the rookie?
Yeah, I don't know. It was an experience. I mean, calling the plays is, you know, they can simplify that. I don't think it was that big a deal. I think the Lions missed T.J. Hockenson. I think you could see that Jared Goff, you know, he threw some balls that were panic balls that he probably throws to T.J. Hockenson in some of those. I think he's got to get used to playing without him. So I think they benefited from that. DeAndre Swift didn't play all that much. Josh Reynolds, one of their top receivers, didn't play. I think really what the difference for them was when Rashawn Gary went out, because if you look at that third quarter, late third quarter, early fourth quarter drive, he was out, and he was playing really good run defense throughout that. He was really physical. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was sticking his nose in there, and they just kept running it. And that's where I think they really missed him. I think the game could have been a little bit different if he hadn't gotten hurt.
Yeah, that final possession that the Lions had, they held the ball for a little over 4.5 minutes, 9 plays, and a lot of that was rushing.
13, I think, for that touchdown. It was 13 plays, 70 yards.
Well, I was looking at the next drive where they were burning clock.
The touchdown. And they ran 8 of the 13 times during that drive. And so, yeah, that hurt them, along with a bunch of dumb penalties, too.
At the 4th down stand, right? On the 4th and 3?
No, that was the next. So we're talking about 2 drives. The 4th and 3 was on the last drive. I'm not counting the kneel down.
I was really curious about that, especially with, like, to Spoon's point, not having Rashawn Gary on the field. I was really curious. Game's on the line at that point. What are they going to do? You know, they'd had a 4th down stop in the red zone earlier. I think that was in the first half. Jair Alexander, we've been talking about takeaways. He flipped the field, gave the offense a chance to score. I was really curious about that 4th down. That's when all the marbles on the table. I mean, that's you got to go win a game, and they did. So I felt like, was it a perfect game? No, this was not 27 up now. But short of that, I felt like every time they were called upon, they were there.
Talking about the defense.
The Packers defense, yeah. And I thought that last 4th down stop was – that's
huge.
That's what you got to go do if you're going to be a great, you have to make the plays in those moments, especially with an offense that can't stay above water. And they did.
That was a very dumb call on Campbell's part. I have no idea what he was doing. He got really lucky that they didn't score, because his butt would have been under so much fire if they had lost because of that.
Yeah.
Not smart.
Because it was at midfield, correct? If I'm remembering correctly.
43-yard line, I think.
Yeah.
It was around. Line. Yeah. Speaking of coaching, can I get your guys' opinion? So you were there. I'm just curious what you think. But the impression I got was that I don't know how well Matt LaFleur knows his football team, and I don't mean like the running passing. I don't mean that. I mean, you could point to that for sure. But, and I get that the Lions defense is terrible, but if you're a team that is supposed to win with great defense, that means you need points. And this was a 15-9 game. They go for it on fourth down twice, fourth and goal. The first one from the 5, interception. The second one, maybe the most desperate play call of Matt LaFleur's career. I mean, that was purely desperate. You've got A.J. Dillon. You're on the 1-yard line. You want to throw a roll out to the right, throw back to your left tackle. That I just a desperate play call. That's 6 points right there. You take the point. That's 6 points right there. And then I thought the fact that he went for the 2-point conversion in the third quarter, that was asking to backfire. You got to trust your defense. I understand it's 8-7. You got to trust your defense to hold the water. There's 20 minutes left in the game. There's so much time left. I understand that you're thinking the Lions are going to score points and they're going to give up points. But when I asked Matt LaFleur this week, why have the Lions been able to stop nobody on defense? He said, well, we haven't scored points either. You know that you're struggling for points. You have points. Matt LaFleur left 7 points on the table today in a 6-point loss.
The fourth down where they went for it early in the game, when they could have gone for the field goal, when it was clear that they were going to go for it, and they're running back out on the field, I looked at our colleague Pete Doherty, and I was like, would you go for it right here, or would you not take the points? And he was like, normally I would say go for it, but with this offense, take the points.
Yeah.
And especially that early in the game, that was a very interesting decision. I mean, Spoon did it.
And then you're going to throw the ball to a guy who's had 4 knee surgeries, you know, and you're going to expect him to get out into the open. I mean, who do you think?
Think about the David Bakhtiari of it all. I was just wondering why they weren't going for the field goal. But yeah, you're right. Like, why draw up that play?
Let me ask you a question. I can even make it multiple choice if you want.
I like multiple choice.
Who do you think designed that play?
I get 3 guesses and the first 2 don't count.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers.
Of course. I mean, you know, he came up with some. This is what the problem is in my estimation. Not they'll come out, Rodgers will come out and say, oh, yeah, this was LaFleur's play or something like that. But, you know, I think the problem is, and they've crossed, to use Mark Murphy's terminology back in the Favre years, they've crossed the Rubicon. Like, they can't – everything that – all the power Rodgers has, all the influence, everything, it's – they can't take it back now. And now that he's playing like crap, it's like he can't back any of that stuff up. You know, before he could point at guys, he could rip the rookies and stuff like that. But you got to back it up on the field, you know, in order to do that stuff. And he didn't today. Today he was awful. I mean, some of those throws, and the throw to Bakhtiari, it might have worked if he had made a decent throw, but it's still, that's just a dumb play. I don't get that one. Why can't you throw that to Robert Tonyan? And I asked Lazard.
A.J. Dillon.
Yeah, I mean, I asked Lazard.
Alan Lazard, you know, streaking across the back of the end zone.
Should they have thrown it to you there? And he said, yeah. You know, he said, I want it all the time. You know,
you asked Lazard that?
Yeah. No, he said, you know, I want it every down. but in I want it in the clutch situations. And I, you know, look at the Lions 4th-and-1 where they had the tight end block and he leaks out and he's wide open in the corner in the of the end zone and they can't do something like that. So I just think they are so screwed up. I think there's just like a disconnect between Rodgers and LaFleur. I think there's disconnect between LaFleur and the whole team. They're just a mess.
There's two things there. There's the play call, and then there's the approach to not take the points and go for it. And to answer your question, Spoon, who called the play? Aaron Rodgers said after the game that he's going to have to live with that terrible throw the rest of his life because of his friendship with David Bakhtiari. Pretty clear he wanted to get his friend a touchdown against his terrible Lions defense. But and that's a play Matt LaFleur should have never allowed to leave the sideline or leave the playbook. But this is not all gas, no break with this Packers offense. I get that the past 3 years, especially the past 2 years, that's been Matt LaFleur's mantra, all gas, no break. And almost always, I especially the last few years, okay, this is a really good offense. The odds at times, the analytics say it's good to go for 7 over 3. But this is not all gas, no break. This is, can they please score some dang points?
Trying like, to get to a gas station on a wing and a prayer.
Yeah, like they need to actually score. However you can get points, get some dang points. It's just to not have that understanding of what your offense is and isn't. The approach, leaving those 6 points on the field, and then you don't go for 2 with 20 minutes to go in the game. That's 7-point game.
I want to read y'all a quote that Mercedes Lewis had in the locker room after the game. If we came on and executed to the best of our ability as a team and you just fall short because the other team made more plays, you can live with that. But if you come out and leave points on the field and the opportunity squander, I don't know what else you can say about that. This league is unforgiving and it'll humble you quick. The margin of error is small. Today, we didn't make enough plays. We continue to beat ourselves. So does that kind of go back to your point, Ryan, that they're beating themselves because they don't know themselves? And I know that this was an offense that knew they were going to have to try to find an identity this year, but it seems like they've regressed.
I think this season's over because they're talent deficient. They don't. They've got a glaring problem that they just passed at the trade deadline that it's not getting better. There's no juice in the passing game. Because of that reason, I don't see them turning this around. I'll eat my hat if they actually finish 11-7. But as far as today, any of you think that this Packers team doesn't have more talent than this Lions team? Like, if you just line them up, this Packers team has got more talent. So, yeah, there's a lot. That, you know, Aaron Rodgers has 3 picks for the first time since 2017. They leave 7 points off the board in a 6-point loss. There's losing to a better team, and this is not that.
Mm-hmm. A couple of notes on the offense while we're kind of on this conversation. Romeo Doubs, who went out on the very first play, an 18-yard crosser. He had to be helped to the sidelines. And then he was carted off with his right foot up on a bag. Spoon, you saw him after the game, and you had an update there?
Yeah, he was in a boot, and he was on crutches. So what does that tell you? It's probably not very good. And, you know, they got 2 games in 10 days. I think it's going to be hard-pressed for any of those guys who got hurt, except maybe Aaron Jones, to make it back. Based on the severity of, you know, what you saw coming out of the locker room, where Sean Gary was on crutches, Aaron Jones was in a boot, Christian Watson, they can't put him back on the field next week. I mean, they might have to put him on IR just to, you know, give him some time off.
And Christian Watson probably won't even make the next 2 games because they've got that short turnaround before with Tennessee.
Yeah, I'm saying they might put him on IR. So they've got to figure out, you know, what they're going to do there. You know, Gary, I don't know, him being on crutches, they're just messed up. I actually thought coming into this game with Watson, Dobbs, and Lazard that they might actually do something on offense. And they started to. And then as soon as Dobbs went out, that left them with just Lazard. And Rodgers is not throwing the ball to Sammy Watkins. Sometimes I can see why he doesn't seem to know where he's supposed to be all the time. But it's like, I don't know why they have him on the field if Rodgers isn't going to throw him the ball. And Ture, they got to keep working him in there. I mean, if you'd thrown him in with Dobbs, Watson, and Lazard, I think they could have had a pretty good day today. But that would have caught, that would have been with Rodgers being able to actually hit a target too.
Speaking of Sammy Watkins, I talked to him after the game about that last play because it looked like it was intended for him. And he said, I know what he told me. I don't know what he told the other guys. We'll have to go back and look. I don't know if it was supposed to come to me. You would think you would know that. But he said it was a mishap, miscommunication, called it a bunch of things, and then said, to your point about Romeo Dobbs going out, he said, with Romeo out, with Christian out, he said everything was just sort of up in the air, and it was on the fly. And he said guys were playing out of position, and they were switching positions, and they were moving guys around. But it, as our colleague Pete Doherty said on our Facebook Live, he said in the past when that has happened, Rodgers has been able to put the team on his back, and that's not what happened today. In fact, he put them in stress at times. Spoon, do you think, with what you've seen, that there's enough there with the receivers to still sort of put together a serviceable passing game? I mean, if let's even say this next week, Dobbs is out, Watson is out, you'll have Lazard, you'll have Watkins. When does Randall Cobb come back? I'm doing math in my head.
He might be eligible. I forgot. I was figuring it out the other day. I think he might be eligible for the Dallas game, but he hasn't practiced. So right. he was out here running.
He's out here doing warm-ups today.
Warm-ups, yeah. Mm-hmm. But he's eligible on Saturday is what I believe, because okay. He went on IR on a Saturday, and I don't know if he would get any practice time.
And then it feels like they've kind of found something with Samori Toure, and I know part of that is because they've had to, but he seems to have answered the bell again today. He was kind of there for Rodgers on a scramble drill. He's got to learn not to get back up and when to stay down, but it feels like that's a rookie mistake that can be fixed.
Yeah, I just think losing Dobbs is critical. I don't see what they have. You know, Lazard, they can continue to target, but there's nothing else. There really is nothing else. Ture is an occasional target. Sammy Watkins is a non-factor. I don't know what they got.
Let me put it this way. I thought it was critical before they lost Romeo Dobbs. I mean, before. It was in a bad shape. Look, Aaron Rodgers, if you just take this season, he's clearly regressed. I don't know if it's permanent. I don't know if this is a slump and he'll turn it around, but less than a month before he turns 39, history would indicate it might be permanent. This might be the new Aaron Rodgers. Which wouldn't make him the first 38-year-old quarterback in NFL history to regress at 38, right? You guys remember in the offseason, we talked about the end of John Elway's career and how the Broncos loaded up around him. When they went back-to-back Super Bowls, it wasn't John Elway playing like John Elway. It was Terrell Davis. It was Rod Smith and Ed McCaffrey. It was Shannon Sharpe. They were loaded around John Elway. So I'm not saying that, you know, I wrote this last week in Buffalo. Aaron Rodgers playing like Aaron Rodgers is how they need to get out of this, because he's not. It's a $50 million a year quarterback. if he plays like this, they're cooked. They can't have their $50 million quarterback playing like this. But I see a major failing. And Spoon, you made the point that it's not just a trade deadline thing during the week. It's years in the making. At this stage in Aaron Rodgers' career, they need to be loaded up around the quarterback position. When you look at what John Elway had at the end of his career, you look at what the Packers have. They've got a couple really good running backs. His tight end today is his preferred tight end, Josiah DeGuara. There's a couple passes to Josiah DeGuara. The receiver position. These are not Rod Smith, Ed McCaffrey, Shannon Sharp. The talent deficiency around Rodgers at a stage in his career where Father Time has taken over all-time great quarterbacks before, it's a great failing. So it's the quarterback, but it's also what's around. It's both.
There was a moment today where, at least on Twitter, there were lots of questions as to why not just put Jordan Love in. And then, of course, Aaron Rodgers has that. It's a one-score game, and Aaron Rodgers has that throw to Alan Lazard that he made look a lot easier than it was. And you kind of go, oh, yeah, that's why he's Aaron Rodgers. But those moments were few and far between today. They've been few and far between the past few games. If they continue to lose a couple more games and mathematically are out of playoff contention, I know you're spending $150 million on this quarterback, but you also have a draft coming up in April that has a pretty decent quarterback class. Even if you're going to keep Rodgers for another year, do you go ahead and play Jordan Love to see what you have to know if you need to go after another quarterback in this upcoming class?
Well, if you play
just for Jordan life after Love, Aaron Rodgers.
If you play Jordan Love, then the Aaron Rodgers era is over. He's not coming back. And you're going to either have to trade him or he'll force a trade. He's not going to suffer that indignity and then come back and say, okay, well, thanks for trying Jordan Love, but I'm happy to come back. That's not going to happen. So once you go to Jordan Love, Rodgers is done. I don't, Jordan Love is the guy they're putting their chips on, and they're probably not going to, I don't know where they're going to draft. I don't think anything happens like that until the final month of the season when you're clearly out of it and you want to start looking. I mean, the Colts did it, benched Matt Ryan, but they really weren't going anywhere. And it's not like Matt Ryan was a back-to-back MVP coming back off of back-to-back MVP seasons. I just think, you get to a certain point, if you're completely eliminated from the playoffs, then you just say, hey, we're going with the kid and, we're going to let you go or whatever. We'll trade you or something like that.
Talking to the guys in the locker room today, Rasul Douglas, Kenny Clark, Aaron Jones, Sammy Watkins, they all kind of said the same thing, like, I just don't get it. In fact, I think Rasul Douglas and Sammy Watkins said those exact words. Like, I just don't get it. And Ryan, I understand your point that, they haven't surrounded Rodgers with necessarily what he needs. But in theory, they have the pieces in place to make this a winning team. And it's just not. Spoon, I know you said earlier that you feel like there's a disconnect between LaFleur and Rodgers. Is that affecting this whole offense and just kind of making it broken?
Well, I think it affects the whole team. So if one guy can, make comments and rip people and say guys need to come in and out of the lineup, he's got to back it up. As I said earlier, you got to go out there. Now you've got these guys who are like, okay, I thought we were a team and we're preaching team and you want to bench everybody, but you can't back this up. And then I think LaFleur looks weak because it just seems like Rodgers is running the team. And this is an organizational issue. This is, bowing down to him during the year that he sat out or the offseason he sat out, giving him the massive contract instead of doing something bold, letting him have the whole offseason off, letting him be involved in personnel, letting him hire the quarterback's coach, essentially. what else? I mean, he is running the organization, and until that changes, until they take it back, I just think they're really kind of in a free fall.
Yeah, and I don't know how we can say after 9 games that in theory they have the pieces to be a winning team. I think in theory this offseason, when we looked at how this team might set up, they in theory had the pieces. But we've been saying it for weeks, their lack of punch in the receiving game, you can't win like that in this league. They got one proven NFL productive receiver, and that's Alan Lazard. After that, they've got some rookies that can't stay healthy or are in roles that are really over accelerating their development. And what Aaron Rodgers has been saying the past couple weeks about wanting needing to throw the ball down the field, this team can't do that. So I'm not saying that that's the answer, that they cannot win by airing it out. That's proven. They have to run the ball. But they can't win by no team in this league can win with just a run game. In this league, you have to have talent and production in the receiving core with how this league is designed, tailoring. It's a quarterback league. It's a passing league. If you can't throw the ball a little, and this team really – it can't throw the ball a little. If you can't throw the ball a little down the field, you're not winning games at a high rate. So that glaring deficiency that they have, to me, they don't have the pieces to be a winning team right now. You've got to have receiving proven talent, and they're missing that in a big way.
Well, they averaged 12.7 yards a catch today. They had 25, 47, 32, 19, 18, 18, 15, 17. So I would say they got the ball down the field okay today.
I would say
they just couldn't finish.
NFL.
Yeah.
I'm talking all 9 games. Yeah, they got a couple plays in the passing game against the Lions.
And but you're saying that you have to do that to win. And they did that today. They rolled up a crap load of yards. Their defense played well, and it didn't make a difference. I agree. You know, you got to have guys who can catch the ball, and got to have guys. But there's other ways to win games. And, you know, 15, 18-yard completions aren't bad. But you got to score. You know, you get anywhere close, you got to score, and they couldn't do that today. And to me, that just kind of says where they're at.
Well, that's the point to me. We talked about a whole lot of other reasons earlier why they didn't win today. To your point, they moved the ball very, very well between the 20s. They left 7 points on the field. There's reasons why they lost today. The fact that they were throwing the ball on the Lions doesn't mean that they can throw the ball. And a week ago, they ran it down the number one run defenses in the NFL's throat. Never had a chance to win that game. They didn't have any passes. I'm talking all 9 games. All 9 games, and maybe your recollection is better than me, but name for me a team that was a Super Bowl contender that couldn't throw the ball. I'm not talking one game against the worst defense in the NFL. I'm talking consistently could not throw the ball. This team hasn't been able to really get any juice in the passing game. What other teams win like that?
I might argue. I guess I would think the 49ers were never really like a deep throwing team or a running play action kind of team.
What game was it when Jimmy Garoppolo threw 8 passes?
2019.
Yeah.
Game, we'll never forget it, and the reason we'll never forget it is because it just it's a blue herring that almost never happens. It's almost a fluke.
I'm just saying that you know, there was a recipe here somewhere with how to win, how to at least be a winning team this year and at least compete for the NFC North, and they had the talent to do it, and they they just lost whatever it was that they had. And to me, it's just it's a symptom of not knowing who they want to be, what they want to be, push and pull between the coach and the quarterback. Mm-hmm. I think it's a lot of those things.
I have one final question on this before we say goodbye, and it kind of sums up all of that. We talked about the pieces not being the right pieces around Rodgers and the disconnect between him and LaFleur. Does it feel to you guys like the playbook that LaFleur was hired to run has been thrown completely out the window? And it feels like they draft to run LaFleur's playbook. They draft Christian Watson. They draft Romeo Doubs. They draft, they want to use Tonyan and DeGuara. And there's, I'm trying to think, was there a handful of plays with motion today? I could think of like maybe three.
Yeah, they've taken, that's another thing that Rodgers has decided he doesn't want, and playing under in the shotgun. You know, they run everything out of shotgun now. That wasn't LaFleur's deal. So, yeah, there's just a lot of things they've, given in to Rodgers. And again, you know, as long as he's playing up to that level, but once he can't, you know, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm. You know, to your point, Cassidy, I thought, for a few weeks now, Aaron Rodgers has been talking about how he wanted to get into play extensions, maybe make more plays with his legs. And I thought about that today. The offense got off script more today than it has, I think, all season. But that also, if anyone that lived through 2018, when you start seeing that, it can be a sign of a broken offense. So, yeah, I mean, careful what you wish for. But to your point, have they gotten away from there? I think, yeah, I mean, today with the extensions, with Rodgers being their leading rusher,
right,
as he, after the game, he never wants to be their leading rusher. Aaron Rodgers, leading rusher, you're not running your offense.
No, although I will say 20 yards of that 40 was off a play where everyone in the building thought he threw it. And he picked up 20 yards. I was impressed he still had that in him. But, yeah, I mean, there were lots of boots. And he had time. Offensive line gave him time, and he was leaving the pocket, sometimes even before it collapsed.
And he missed, guys. He missed. There was one play where Tonyan and I think it was Lazard crossed.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
And they were both wide open down the middle, and he missed them. Oh,
what about that Torrey throw live? What the deep shot down the middle? Did that look as underthrown live as it did on TV?
Yes.
Yes. Me. Yes. Now, it was a tough throw, wasn't he? He was kind of rolling to his right and scrambling, right?
Here I have the breakdown of what happened. It was into double coverage, but it was if that ball is 2-3 yards farther up the field, Torrey walks into the end zone.
Yeah.
I tweeted the ball should be and where it was. It was a really great route by Torrey too. I mean, he open, and the ball was just, you can't miss this throw by that much.
There was another one in the end zone.
I don't have him. I didn't write down that Rodgers moved. He could have. He could have come out of the pocket. I just have that he moved Lazard farther left. Yes. Okay. I remember this play. Right before the snap, he moved Lazard farther out. And I remember because Lazard looked back at him and like threw his hands up and like was like doing this. Like it was like he was saying, like, what do you want me to do? That probably didn't make any difference in the play, but it, you know, it's kind of a good snapshot of what this offense is, where your wide receiver one is asking the quarterback, what do you want me to do on a 3rd and 11? But yeah, he went deep down the seam for Torrey. It was just a little short. So I don't remember what Rodgers did on the play though, as far as out of the pocket.
I think he could have hit the one to Amari Rodgers, the third down, final third down. A guy kind of reached in over Amari Rodgers. But if he'd have let him and put it on his hands, I think he could have, he might have gotten that. There were a couple plays like that. He had that one with Samari Toure, and he just put it down in the dirt with no, I mean, he's right there. Samari Turay standing right there, and the ball's down at his toes. So either that thumb's really bothering him, or, you know, this is the decay of a old quarterback.
After that play in the dirt, you know, Turay, like, that's, he's pretty even killed, and we saw him get really, really frustrated, and he like slapped the ground and he was upset. He probably thought it was his fault, but yeah, it did look a little short.
The replay angle of Rodgers sure looked to me like he was saying, come back to the ball. It sure looked like, but I'll tell you this, watching the play, and I only saw it on TV, so tell me if I'm, but watching the play, looked like he ran a good route, a good reaction play, and he was open. Make the throw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah. What was he mad at in, was it second quarter, where, I can't remember the play, but he went to the bench and he was yelling like crazy. And I can't remember, he missed.
Oh, that was, is that when he slammed the phone down?
I think so.
That was after the pick, I think, that he slammed the phone.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. The one he bounced off the guy's helmet.
No, I think the phone was after the Bakhtiari pick.
Oh, I think he got mad about the one on the helmet too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Cameras picked him up and he was like gesturing. Yes.
Yeah. But I mean, that was his fault.
There's a good way to avoid that. It's called kicking the field goal from the 5-yard line.
Well, lots of questionable decisions across the board. We will talk to Matt LaFleur on Monday afternoon to get a little bit more insight into them, as well as possibly an update on just a litany of crucial and bad injuries. I mean, let's see. Today, on Sunday, they lost a starting wide receiver, a starting corner. It looked like they lost a starting offensive lineman for a little bit, but John Runyon came back in. Starting running back, starting defensive end. Am I missing any?
Two backups, Chris Barnes and Christian Watson.
Yep.
So you passed up the biggest thing tomorrow, which I can't wait to tune in. We're getting Mike McCarthy on a conference call tomorrow.
Yeah.
I can't wait to ask him about the Packers. That should be really interesting.
Satisfying. Does this have to be? I doubt he'll say it.
But no, he'll take the high road.
How much does Mike McCarthy have to savor this right now?
Yeah.
I mean, goodness. Man.
And y'all have compared this. I've heard y'all compare this to 2018 a couple of times. I mean, could it be fair to ask him, do you see similarities from 2018 when you watched
the Packers? Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
But he is not going to rip Aaron Rodgers. He will not. Right. He didn't do it at the end. He was always careful not to put any blame on Aaron Rodgers. He ate that. And I don't know what he's got to be happy, and he probably is going to shake Mark Murphy's hand with the biggest smile on his face that you've ever seen. Especially if they win.
It's amazing how quickly things change, because the last 2 years, this matchup would have been like Mike McCarthy's living personification of hell. Mm-hmm. This has just been miserable. And now it's completely flipped. This is a Mike McCarthy joyride down Mike McCarthy Way in the Lambeau Field. It's just 180.
This is Brett Favre coming back in 2009 and just kicking the crap out of the Packers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like you said, how quickly things change. And I guess they can still change again. Something tells me the Packers have had this Cowboys game circled on their calendar.
Big deal. Circled for what?
Let me rephrase it.
Aaron Rodgers hunting season or something, or
I think that's the week after.
Circle. No
that's,
way.
That's the week after the Cowboys game.
They had this game, the Lions game, circled because they thought it was actually a game they could win.
Right. What did Aaron Rodgers say? We can't lose a game to that team.
Yeah, just did.
They thought, yeah, they knew they had to win.
Final thing, this is your final 60 seconds, but I'm going to tell you what to use it on. Okay. Aaron Rodgers is a four-time MVP, a back-to-back MVP, has proven time and again before this year that he could put a team on his back if needed to. He's also 38 years old and he threw three interceptions today. Spoon, I'll start with you. How long do you give him the benefit of the doubt?
Well, what are we talking about? Like, when we're getting rid of him, when we're benching him, what are we
Let's
asking
start with
here?
Benching?
Well, just like I said, I think you look at the last month of the season and see where you're at. I think this is his last year with the Packers, unless there's some sort of miracle. I think they got to get out of that contract. And there'll be some team that'll trade for him. I mean, Detroit would trade for him. You know, they probably wouldn't mind 1 year of Rodgers as a go-between between Jared Goff and whoever their young quarterback's going to be.
49ers.
Yeah, maybe 49ers. Yeah, Kyle Shanahan's probably like,
I know what they should do is they should trade straight up Rodgers for Garoppolo, because Garoppolo could run the offense that LaFleur wants to run.
Probably. But, you know, Jordan loves their quarterback next year, in my opinion.
Okay, Ryan, how long do you get your benefit of the doubt?
They can't make the change until they're mathematically eliminated. I think at that point, all bets are off. And I think at that point, very well might come sooner than later. So, but before then, it's Aaron Rodgers. As far as the benefit of the doubt of whether or not this is Father Time or this is a slump, I guess for me, it's next year to see a situation. This is a bad situation for a quarterback when it comes to what he's throwing to. I've got to see him with a different scenery around him to really for me to know whether or not this is 38, almost 39, and you're on the downslide, or if this is more to do with what's around him. I just don't know.
That's fair. Well, they got a big one on Sunday. I think Trayvon Diggs and Michael Parsons are looking forward to this after watching this offensive performance today. I actually think that this Packers defense will make it a good game against Elliott and Prescott, but, you know, what's it going to look like on the other side of the ball? And Rashawn Gary could be a big factor in what that defense performance looks like as well. Like I said, Matt LaFleur will meet with us on Monday afternoon, as will Mike McCarthy, apparently. So we'll have full coverage for you of that. Will both of you be on the McCarthy call?
Oh yeah,
I'll try. I haven't seen what time it is, but I don't think I'm in transit then.
Well, yeah, that'll be interesting. We will have full coverage for you of that on PackersNews.com, and then stay tuned as we continue to wrap up the Packers' loss to the Lions, their fifth straight, dropping to 3-6 overall on the season. Guys, thank you as always. This has been the Green 19 podcast from JS Online and PackersNews.com.